If you would turn your Bibles to, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. I'm actually going to be looking at both Joshua chapter 6 and Joshua chapter 7 this evening as we look a little bit into the life of Joshua and really see some failures in both the life of Joshua and the life of other men through this story. Many of you, when you look at the story, you think of Achan, you think of obviously the men that died at Ai, you think of Jericho, you think of Rahab. But I really want to focus on just the comparison and really the contrast of what happened in Joshua chapter 6 when the Israelites saw victory at Jericho and what happened in chapter 7 when they were defeated at Ai, and really just see some things that we can learn from the life of the Israelites in these chapters. So, Joshua chapter 6. I'm just going to read Joshua chapter 7, and then we'll get right in the message. But the just verse 1, by the way, not the whole chapter. I won't be long tonight, I promise. I'm never long. Many of you know, my dad and many others tell me I talk way too fast and speed through and you can't understand me. So I will try and be a little clearer this evening. So Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. So, we look through our lives, and if you look back over this year, I'm sure this is just as true as every other year in your life. There are many important decisions that each and every one of us have to make, whether that be personally, if you're a dad or a mom for your family, decisions you have to make for them. And if you're a boss at your company, if you're an employer, you hire people underneath you, you have to make those kind of decisions, whether to hire this person, whether to take this job, whether to do this or do that. Financial decisions for your family. Just different decisions we have to make each and every day in our lives that really have long-term impacts. And in this story, we see several decisions that they made, whether it be Achan, Joshua, the men of Israel, that really had long-term impacts on their lives. Some good, some not good. And I want to take some time and look through this story. And I think that through this story, you'll see, first of all, that Satan attacks at the time where we think we're strongest. We're obviously not, because the Bible says, take heed lest a man think. I'm going to misquote that verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I always get that verse confused and I didn't want to, because it's so important, because at the moment where we think we get great victory right here as I said in chapter 6, they just had great victory at Jericho, but they got so vulnerable because they got lifted up in pride. You see, Achan thought he knew more than anyone else and thought he could take and hide and no one find out what happened. The men of Israel in this story thought they knew more than anyone else, because they said, oh, let's not send everyone. Let's just send a couple thousand. Let's not ask God about what he thinks about AI, what he thinks we should do. Then you look at Joshua. He doesn't go to the Lord about it. He just goes with the 2,000 or 3,000 men. Then on top of that, Achan, after 36 men are killed, is still probably knows that he's the cause of it, because he's the one that's got the sin in the camp, yet still doesn't go before Joshua and the people of Israel to confess. He makes them go through a whole process where they have to judge which tribe it's from, which family it's from, who's the head of the family it is, and he goes through this whole long drawn-out process. His family gets killed in the process of it, and all this right after their greatest victory. And in the Christian life, there's going to be times where we see tremendous victory, and it's so easy to get puffed up in pride, to, you know, think, oh, I'm good. I was struggling with this thing for so long. I had this issue, and God really saw me through. I got the victory. And then you just take a breath, and you try and relax. And it's right at that moment where Satan will go at you, and he'll try and get you down. And the first comparison and really contrast in this story, I think, with Jericho, they were so quick to seek the Lord. That was the first thing. Joshua saw the captain of the Lord's host, and he got exact instructions from him, quoted those exact instructions to the people of Israel, and they followed those instructions and saw victory. But with Ai, they did what they thought was best. You see, in chapter I'm going to flip back to Joshua chapter 7. And you look, and in verse 2 of chapter 7 says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Not one mention of seeking the Lord. They did the same thing for Jericho. They went and spied out the land. Yeah, they did just to kind of see what they were up against. But then Joshua was met with the Lord alone and got instructions from God about it. After they then came back, they said, "Oh yeah, this isn't a big city." They had just conquered Jericho, so to Ai was unfenced, unwalled. There's not a big city. We don't need everybody. We just need 2,000 or 3,000. And Joshua kind of falls into the trap. He doesn't really say, no, we got to make sure we seek the Lord about this first. Remember, it was him that gave us the victory at Jericho. No, he says, okay, we'll just send about 3,000 guys up there. And in our Christian life, we're going to come across decisions that are way beyond us, way beyond our wisdom, way beyond our ability to comprehend, way beyond our abilities. And we're going to maybe come up against things in our life, challenges, tests that are way beyond us that we can't really get through without seeking the Lord each and every day in our lives. I think as we come upon a new year, there's going to be those challenges. We don't know what they are yet. You may not, some of them you may already foresee. You may see some things that you're like, that's going to come up. That's going to be a problem. You know, there's maybe some the maintenance costs in the house and different things. A new car maybe you have to buy. Some things you see. But then there's the unforeseen things, you know, the accidents, the just things you cannot see. And whether or not you seek the Lord, He's going to give you the wisdom and the ability to get through those things that we don't see this new year. And like I said, they go through this whole battle. And the next verse says, "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads." He didn't think to do, if he had thought to do this before, because when we read ahead, we see what happened. Achan had sinned. They couldn't get victory. They couldn't see the joy of victory, the happiness that comes with following the Lord, because they had sinned. But no one knew that but Achan at the time, but the Lord knew it. And if they had just gone to him and said, "Lord, what should we do here? We have Ai, it's not as big as Jericho, not as strong as Jericho. How many people do you want us to go with?" And God would have said, "Hold up a minute, Joshua. You've got an issue. You've got a problem." And this problem was that there was sin in the camp. And that you can't see victory. And that's kind of what my second point is here, where it says, with Jericho, they were clean before God. They had followed the Lord. They had done what they were supposed to. But with Ai, there was sin. There was sin in the camp, and that they couldn't see victory. And we see here, as Joshua goes through this whole process in verse 7, "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore thou liest upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." Joshua comes to the Lord. He says, "Okay, God, why did this happen?" And God says, "Easy, there's sin. There's that barrier between us. We can't I can't bless you because you have sin in your life, because you've got sin in the camp. I can't bless the nation because there's something there blocking my blessing. I just think as we come upon this new year, how many blessings God would like to pour upon each one of us individually. Us as a church, I think about this past year. I wasn't here, but I saw some videos of the anniversary, how God blessed tremendously. People saved, people baptized. How much more of that He would like to do in Ocean County Baptist Church? But is there sin in the camp that's going to stop it? Is there issues in each and every one of our lives? I have to look at my own life, make sure that I'm pure before the Lord, that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Each and every one of us needs to do that, because God cannot bring down His full blessing when there's sin, when there's that barrier in your life. And think of Psalm 66:18, where it says, "If I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me." He can't hear our prayers. He can't answer our prayers if there is iniquity, if there is sin in our life. Very simple, though. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a simple, one simple step. You know, many things, you know, you get these instructions on these Christmas gifts. It's this time of year, and it's like 25 directions long. It takes you like 2 hours to put together, and then when you get it done, there's like the one piece missing, and the whole thing doesn't work because of that one piece, and you got to figure out where it's at. That's not how it is when you're trying to confess your sin to God. He's one easy step. Just go to Him and confess it, and He will forgive. It's all you have to do. And I think that God would just love to pour down blessings upon every Christian, every child of His. But just is there that sin in your life? So now what do you have to do in order to see God bless, you know, in this new year? Well, like I said, very easy, confess. But the next verse says, "Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord shall taketh shall come according to the families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua, like I said, Joshua comes. What do we have to do? He says, get rid of it. Whatever the sin is, whoever is taken, that person and all that he has is going to be burnt. He says he's going to be killed. They're going to be removed from Israel, because God cannot look upon sin, because God is a holy God. If you remember earlier in the Bible, I think it's in Leviticus, where Aaron's two sons offered what was known as strange fire before the Lord, and God smote them immediately because he could not have sin in his presence, and they tried to bring it into the tabernacle to worship, and he could not have it. But I also think about Achan in this story. Think about it. When he took it, he could have confessed it right then. When he hid it in his tent, he had another chance. Before they went to the battle at Ai, he had another chance. After they came back from the battle at Ai, before Joshua went into the Lord, he had another chance. It wasn't until after Joshua went to the Lord and asked him what's going to be done that the sin was therefore condemnable by death, because Achan had stolen. Now, Achan had chance after chance. Think about it, 36 families. Like I said, there's long-lasting consequences. Major decisions we each and every one of us make in our lives, good or bad, have long-lasting consequences. The decision Achan made cost 36 families, their dad, their husband, their son, because he made a decision. Now, I'm not saying every decision you make is going to cost lives, but if, for example, if you decide to stray away from the Lord this year, whose family are you going to hurt by it? How many people are going to be hurt by it? Your kids, your grandkids, you know, how many people will be affected if you decide to take steps away from the Lord? It's every decision. We like to think that our sin only affects us, but no, it doesn't. It affects everyone you're surrounded by. I think about for those adults, for Sunday school teachers, if you were to stop teaching, if something were to happen, the kids in your class, even the adult Sunday school teachers, the adults in your class, the weaker ones that have just gotten saved, that just started following after the Lord. Each and every one of us impacts so many others in our lives, and one sin has an effect on all of it. And Achan had the same thing. His sin affected those families forever. He then had to look them in the eye and say, because of my sin, your husband is gone. And because of my sin, you lost your son in that battle. And there were obvious consequences for it. But in your life, if you've got this, if you've got something in your life, if you've got bitterness, if you've got anger, if you've got resentment, if you've got just, you know, doubt, if you've got trouble in your life, you know, you're upset, you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to go, there's problems in your life, God says just get it out. Take out the sin from among you. Like I said, it's just one easy step. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then I always love in chapter 8 when they do listen to God's instructions. And God tells them to get 30,000 men, not 3,000. And he tells them to hide some of the men behind the city and the other men to basically run away like they were being chased again. But except with God's plans working so much better than theirs, they had the men there for a reason. So they could go behind, they could ambush the city, take the city, and then ambush the men that were outside of it. And when they listened to God's instructions, much like Jericho, they saw tremendous victory. And I just, once again, this new year, we're 2017. It's unbelievable. Another year has gone by. It's flying by year after year. But as this year comes up, God loves to pour blessings upon his children, but he's also going to chasten those who he loves. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, not where you're supposed to be, not obeying the Lord like you're supposed to be doing, he's going to chasten you. He chased Achan, and Achan, I'm sure every time something else went on, every time he went back into his tent and saw the hole he dug, it reminded him of his sin. And he just chose over and over and over again not to get it right. But if you have that problem, maybe you're just not going to the Lord. Maybe you think you can make it on your own. And we may not say it, but every decision we make without the Lord, without biblical principles, doing things just based on our feelings, we're saying that, hey, look, God, I can get on without you. I don't really need you. You know, you saved me and all that, but I can make this decision on my own. I think I know this is a great job. It's a lot more money to help my family, but it keeps you out of church. You know, this is a great thing, but it hinders your walk with God. Every decision we make like that, it's basically saying that, God, I know better than you. I think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where it says, no man can serve two masters, for either you hate the one or love the other, or else you will hold to the one or despise the other. And it says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon's a word for money or materialistic things that money can buy. Each and every one of us has got choices we're going to make in 2017, life-changing ones. If you all would pray for me this year, I've got to decide after this program what I'm going to be doing for the future, what ministry, what thing I'm going to be doing after. I have no idea, but with the Lord's help, I trust that he will help me make the right decision to move on forward with my life. But each and every decision we make can be life-changing. It can also bring positive consequences. Like I said, Joshua sought the Lord in Joshua chapter 6. We didn't read too much about it. There's just really one or two verses, but they didn't lose a man at Jericho. Jericho was slaughtered, defeated. They had great victory there. Rahab was saved. Everything was done the way it was supposed to do. But because of small little decisions between Jericho and Ai, they lost the power of God. Think of Samson. He didn't even, he messed around with sin, messed around with sin, messed around with sin, finally told Delilah that the secret to his strength was his hair. And when she had cut his hair, when he didn't have the strength anymore, it says he wist not, he knew not that the Spirit of God was gone from him. He had no idea. He was so far from God, he had no idea. Let Ocean County Baptist Church, this 2017, seek the Lord. Grow closer to the Lord. Make decisions that will honor the Lord and show him that we truly love him this year. As he continues to bless this church, I come back every time and you guys are an awesome blessing. And every time I think, man, another year's gone by, but the church is still there. How many churches you hear about that close? How many different churches or don't necessarily close, but just go the wrong direction in terms of their biblical position on things? But this church has been here for 35 years now, and I think of Pastor Weigel and even the families that have been here since I was like 5 when I first started coming here. And you've been faithful, making the right decisions, doing what God has asked of you each and every time. don't change. Don't fall off by the wayside. That those are the ones that Satan really likes to get, the ones that have been there for years. Because he knows with getting one of those members can take a whole bunch of people with him because they have the most influence. And so he's looking for your weak points. But like I said, if you feel like you're struggling, just confess it to him. Admit to him you're struggling. In the New Testament, there's a story of the man who has a son who has a demon. And he says, Lord, I believe. He believed that Christ could heal him. The next sentence it says, help thou mine unbelief. It's exactly what we go through every day. If you have a decision, faith is, that's what faith is. You really believe, but it's so inside of us, it's so easy to lose that faith and that belief. So, once again, make the right decisions. Just any decision that comes on in your life, seek the Lord. And he will show you where you need to go, what you need to do, what steps you need to take, just where to follow the Lord. And 2017 will be a great year if you just seek after God the way Joshua did at Jericho. And when he sought him after Ai, begging him to know why, what was happening. So seek the Lord this year, and 2017, no matter what comes, would be a great year. Let's pray, and Pastor Juan. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for just faithfulness of many people who have followed you and served you and obeyed you for years, Lord. And I pray that that wouldn't change and that those that are here would be here again this service next year. And that Satan wouldn't have anybody, wouldn't have a hold on anyone in this church. And that you would just have great victory. You'd see many souls saved, many people join the church this next year. And God, I pray that you would continue to bless and continue to be honored and glorified through Ocean County Baptist Church in this new year. And I ask all these things in your name. Amen. Pastor.
You know, I always kind of look at a life, our lives,